All right, welcome into the Fan pregame. Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, we're up for the next hour. It's Jesse Rubinoff and Ailish Forfar here. Please mind our screens flickering in the background. It's spooky season in here. Look at,
It would have been better with my orange sweater
yesterday.
Yeah,
they should have done this yesterday.
But now it's blue.
We're working through it. We're lucky again. We just, something, I think we positively jinxed this week being a slow week because, again, we've been blessed with some hockey news for the hockey gods today. We're going to get to the conclusion of the Oilers Blues offer sheet saga with Mark Spector, who's going to join us in a few minutes to break all this down. But yeah, I'm feeling like, you know, if we just get a piece of news every single day, we'll have lots of content.
Do you think the hockey moves are like matching the cooling down of the weather outside? Are you a fan of like what's happening right now?
Yes and no. Like I love the idea of just feeling like cozy with a nice sweater. And not walking my dog in like sweltering heat. Mm-hmm. But it is like a humbling thing to be like, oh my goodness, it's 18 and I'm shivering at the park. You know, there's a big, like your body needs to reacclimate to fall. It's not even fall, but it's colder.
There's something better about, I mean, this is just, I don't know, but there's something better about a 20 degrees Celsius day in the spring versus 20 in the fall, because you know
there's right around the corner to this. Yeah,
there's like a different chill in the air. Now you can look at it from a positive perspective too, and we're talking hockey, so it means we're getting close to the hockey season, which is awesome. I mean, it would be a lot better if the Blue Jays matter at the moment, which they don't matter all that much. But yeah, I mean, it depends how you look at it. Glass half full, glass half empty.
I think I'm sometimes on both of the glasses. Okay, but that means, so when the days are getting colder, we're obviously getting closer to football season too. This is exciting.
That's a good one too.
We were just chatting. I'm glasses half full. We were just chatting off the air about fantasy football, and so I thought it'd be a great question to open up to our text line, or you could tweet at us at Jesse or myself. Our text line 590-590 with standard data rates apply. Okay, so fantasy football season, a lot of drafts are coming up. Some are coming up like really soon. Some might have happened. How do you determine your draft order? Because I always find it really interesting to see the creativity that goes into it, sometimes a little over the line. We're in one here at Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and it will be determined by the King's Plate race. So that was supposed to be on Saturday. I was excited. I had it all ready to watch. And then obviously we had a monsoon, so it's been postponed. But randomly selected a horse, and that is the order of that's my horse. And so I'm waiting for my horse, and I got to wait till Friday. The order of the horses will be the order of the draft. So a lot of people do that, whether it's picking a horse or whatever. So that's what we do. I don't know if you could share.
How do you determine what horse?
That's randomly selected by a computer generated.
Okay.
By our lovely Daniele Franceschi, who runs our league.
Yeah, the man.
Yeah, so that's what we do. I know I sourced a couple before we came on the air. Another league does paper airplanes.
Like, yeah, that's fun.
Do you think about how the variety of results a paper airplane can have? Mm-hmm. Like, it could be a foot, it could go backwards, or it could really fly. So, like, that's a good one. I don't know what you have.
Yeah, I do, like, online duck races.
Oh, see, that's just, like, similar. I like that, yeah. Like,
everyone kind of does it. It depends how much time you want to put into it. Like,
true.
You got... Oh, in your case, a horse race. In my case, you have 12 people or 14 people, whatever. How many people are in your fantasy league? Mm-hmm. Just have them tune in for 30 seconds, watch a quick duck race.
But that's why it's like when it's a real animal, I'd rather cheer for a real animal. Mine is coming up this week, Vitality. I'm like, that thing better run the race of its life. When it's a computer animated duck, I don't care.
The random selection of the horses is kind of tough now because that kind of determines.
Well, yeah, but
it sort of determines
it's the same
your draft
as just
order
doing
for
a random,
you.
No,
if you get a long shot.
No,
like
I think last year
shot,
I had
trouble.
A horse that was like 50-1 odds, and I ended up in the top couple picks. You
really?
Never know. And now with the horse race being delayed a couple days, my horse I think was 20-1. It might just have had a couple more days to really study the track.
I take that back. I take that back because you're right. And also there's an argument to be made that if you get the 12th pick in the draft versus 5, you could be in a better spot anyway. So I mean, best of luck to you. That sounds like a lot of fun.
So send that in at 590-590. I also think maybe the most interesting thing is what are your best punishments for punishment What's the result?
Keep it PG.
You know, you're coming in last in your fantasy football league. What is the price to pay to that? I've seen some good ones. A friend of mine just had this option. I'll present it to you because I wouldn't tell you before the show. He had to either go on the TTC, and he wasn't able to leave the TTC until he ate 30 hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Okay. That's option one.
That's actually unhealthy.
So he could have been on there all
dangerous.
Day. 30 hard-boiled eggs.
A lot of cholesterol.
Or he had to, yeah, that's a tough one. Or he had to take a bus to Sudbury with no phone, no books, nothing. Just like strictly looking out the window and go to Sudbury for the day and tour around Sudbury. And like he had to accomplish a couple tasks and then get back on the bus and come back home.
I would love to.
Yeah, he actually really enjoyed it.
That's fantastic.
I heard all about it. So anyway, send those in at $5.90.
I would take the Sudbury punishment 10 times out of 10 over the 30 eggs.
I have family that is from Sudbury, so that would have been, you know, nice to visit. Anyway,
oh,
we'll send that in, $5.90. We'll get to them throughout the show. But it is fantasy football season around the corner. Feels like it in the air. And keeping us busy has been the NHL, and Mark Spector jumps on to join us now, our sports analyst and Oilers reporter. Speck, how's it going?
Your Sudbury sounds like our like Grand Prairie, you know. It's far away, but once you get there, it's all right.
My brother played junior hockey in Grand Prairie, so I have nothing poor to say about that place either.
Yeah, I like Grand Prairie. I just don't get there that often, but you never know.
In today's day and age, isn't that like what people want? You just want to kind of turn all your devices off. Nobody gets the opportunity to really do it anymore. But if you're like getting quote unquote punished and you're forced to do it, sounds like a beautiful thing. No, Speck?
Hey, man, give me a couple days on a bus to Grand Prairie and a set of golf clubs. Let's do it. Sudbury? I'd try Sudbury. Okay. Didn't they sing about a Sudbury Saturday night being awesome?
Yes, indeed.
Look at you. Indeed. Very cultured. Well, they kept you busy the last little stretch.
Yeah, your phone's not off.
The Oilers have been busy all offseason. We'll get to that. But, of course, the biggest news of the last few days was the offer sheet with St. Louis Blues. So let's just start pretty broad. You got a great article up on Sportsnet.ca that I will direct our listeners and viewers to. But for you, you know, how did the Oilers make the best out of what was a pretty tough situation?
Yeah, that's really what they did. Like it's been funny writing this thing because you applaud them for getting somewhere close to not losing too bad. You know, the minute that offer sheet arrived, they were way in the back of this race and they were never catching up. You know, either they lost a ton of cap space or they lost two young players or they lost some combination thereof. So it was a bad deal for the Oilers. They were never going to come out of this thing smelling like a rose. And frankly, what they chose was cap space and future flexibility to sign more important players over the two young players they lost. They didn't want to lose those young players. They would have loved to have kept them. But those guys aren't as important as some future signings coming up around Edmonton, that's for sure.
Before we look at what they did lose, I mean, two former first-round picks, so we can talk about that in a second, but how did we get here, Spec? Like, did Jeff Jackson go a little too wild on July 1st in terms of blowing past the cap a little bit and maybe assuming that no GM would do an offer sheet, let alone two in one day, which is unprecedented in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, you could think of a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. I'd also say that in hindsight, if they would have offered, a kid like Broberg, who's got 81 games, if they would have offered him 1.8 or something, we'd have been all over him for wasting, you know, $600,000 on a guy they didn't have to spend it on. If they would have gone, I think they offered Holloway like 1.1. If they would have offered him 1.5, we'd have said, what did he do to earn 1.5? So, you know, you try to watch your pennies. And this is their reward, right? They get offer sheeted on both guys. So, sure, signing even one of them might have stopped this thing from happening. But, you know, I mean, Stan Bowman wasn't even in the employ of the team, so it can't be his fault. And obviously, Jeff Jackson was acting as GM at the deadline. And as I recall, we all cooed about what a magnificent job he did back then. So I'm not going back now and telling you he did a bad job.
Fair enough.
Okay, so when this is all said and done, we did hear from Stan a little bit about just like the structure of the cap. How important will cap space be, and how important was just cap space in general while making this decision, passing on to young players for the Edmonton Oilers and allowing maybe some flexibility in season and with the potential Kane LTIR situation, which I'm hoping you might have more clarity on and which direction they may be going with Evander Kane as well?
Well, you know, in the theme of flexibility, you know, had they been capped out, they would have had no choice but to try to get Kane on LTI before, you know, right at the end of training camp, and they would be that LTI team that's locked in and has zero flexibility at the deadline. So this allows them not to have to do that. Now they can make their own choice on Kane. So there's a level of flexibility there that they've gained control of, I would say to you. So that part's good. They are a team that, you know, if they play their cards right, they could have as much as $4.5 million at the trade deadline, which if they would have, you know, matched on these players, they would not have had. So, you know, when the trade deadline comes, they got to get to the trade deadline. They've lost three defensemen off their team from last year here between Desharnais and Broberg and CeCe. So they got to get to the deadline and still be a contender. But if they do, and I think they got a pretty good team, having, you know, $4 million at the trade deadline is like $8 million because everybody matches or takes 50% on their UFAs. So it's important when you're going to win a cup that you can make that one or two last deals at the trade deadline. And Stan Bowman has retained the ability to do that. Again, not a giant win in this thing, but probably a decent second place finish, right?
How much did the acquisition of Podkolzin and then earlier Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson, how much did that free up Bowman in this case to be able to let, I mean, Broberg's kind of a different situation because he's a defenseman and now the Oilers' priority, I think, has to be right-handed D. But how much did that free up the Oilers in letting Dylan Holloway walk? Because the depth was solidified a little bit July 1st before Bowman was even in the team's employ. Did that make it easier for them to let Holloway go?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. On this team, Holloway is a third-line left winger. So, yes, he's young. Yes, he shows promise. They have a team speed issue here. This team has lost Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, and now Dylan Holloway. So that's a problem. You know, that's a problem. They got slower here. There's no doubt. But in this grand scheme of things, this guy is a third line left winger. And if when Kane returns, he might be a fourth line left winger in this roster. So I'm not trying to denigrate Holloway here, but you can go find another third line winger. It's not impossible. It can happen. So, you know, yes, they've added wingers here. They got, you know, the top six is very, very legitimate here in Edmonton right now. If you go through them, a lot of teams have four top six players in their top six, like legit top six guys. Edmonton has, you know, if not five, they got six. So their top six is excellent. They got a very good fourth line. And they're a little light in their third line. They could use a little help, and that's something they'll have to work on.
I saw today with these moves that the Edmonton Oilers are now the oldest average team, the oldest in the NHL of all 32 organizations, which is surprising because you just think, God, I got so much young talent. I mean, not that this is exactly correlating, but in terms of the window, right, you've got some very important offseason decisions still ahead. Obviously, we can talk Draisaitl extension and some other guys that really need to get paid. And I wonder just, like, they're in a win-now mood. Obviously, they were one or two goals away from winning a Stanley Cup. What would you say that their window is? Not really that they're that oldest team in the NHL, but I just thought that was a funny thing to come across my timeline today.
Yeah, it is. And I think they were at one point during the playoffs last year as well, the oldest team in the NHL. And you know, there's always things about that. They've got Derek Ryan and Corey Perry on their team.
That helps.
Right?
Excuse the average.
Those two guys. Perry's 40 and Derek Ryan's like 38. So, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, that stat is, it is what it is. It's kind of a goofy stat. But, you know, they have, I mean, I would say to you that their most important guys are still pretty much in their prime. Mm-hmm. You know, McDavid's 27, Draisaitl's 28, Hyman's, I think, 30, I think. You know, Bouchard's still young. Nurse is 29. Skinner's a 26-year-old goalie. So their main players are right in their prime. There is no question their Stanley Cup window is open now, and if properly managed, can stay open for, I would say, 3 or 4 years, if properly managed. Mm-hmm. So it's time to win. You know, don't forget, you guys, 2 years ago, this team kind of blew a series to Vegas. They could well have won. Vegas went on and won a Stanley Cup, and Edmonton shook their head and said, man, that could have been us. Last year, they got within a period of hockey away from winning the Stanley Cup. Florida lifted the cup, and Edmonton said, man, that could have been us. At some point, it better be you here. Mm-hmm. It's got to be you. And the time has come for the Oilers to quit finishing second and start finishing first.
So they have to pivot a little bit here because of the offer sheet. And I just want to get your opinion on what you think of offer sheeting in today's National Hockey League, because there's been 10 since 2006. I don't think we've ever seen two on the same day, but the St. Louis Blues did that. I think every time we see an offer sheet spec, we kind of ask ourselves, like, is this going to be the start of other GMs going and offer sheeting players all around the league? Do you think there's any chance that that happens? Because from our perspective, it's amazing. It's fun. It gives us content right in the dead of August. But is it something that other GMs are actually going to willing to put themselves out there and do it now?
Well, you know, certainly the success that Armstrong's had here, you sure would think guys would look. Yeah. Armstrong said today in his press conference, someone mentioned Ken Holland being his buddy. He said, I'd have done this to Edmonton if my mother was in
there. I don't know what that means.
Which was an awesome quote by Army. I hope there's more. I love them too as a sports writer. They're great. And the fans love them. And they've put the Oilers in a spot where they had to hustle. I think, you know, I will say to you, like, sure, people are carving up the Oilers. They should have signed these kids earlier and all that stuff. But I think it's been fascinating to watch. Like, the Oilers have been fairly nimble, Jeff Jackson and Stan Bowman. They went out, they got Podkolzin, they made the CC trade, they finagled another third-round pick out of St. Louis and a young player. There's been a lot of transactions that have transpired because of this offer sheet, right? It really got, you know, it woke everybody up at the central registry. So, yes, they're good for business, they're good for media, they're good for fans. You know, I can't... Like, you're right. Why does it happen so seldom? Is it a buddy-buddy system? Mm-hmm. You tell me. I don't really know the answer.
Need some more outsider GMs.
Yeah.
It's not people who are friends anymore. Just get some outsiders in there.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a friend zone. I guess an important pivot to kind of ask you about how Stan Bowman's first couple weeks or month has landed in Edmonton. Obviously, a lot went into this hiring. I don't think we've spoken since this happened. So just... a lot on his to-do list. So how have the first couple weeks or months been received from Stan Bowman?
Well, I mean, frankly, he's busier than he thought he'd be. You know, let's go right back to hiring day. This is a guy coming off of the situation in Chicago that there was a lot of furor and controversy and, you know, surrounding his hiring. This is the first job he's had since the whole Kyle Beat situation. And I think what he was probably looking forward to is just getting some GM work done that could change the narrative about Stan Bowman. Let's talk about Stan Bowman for some other reason than what happened in Chicago. So I would say to you that in an obtuse way, this has probably been welcomed by Stan Bowman, not losing two players, but certainly a reason to get out and hustle. I would commend the work he's done here. Like, he was put in a really tough spot, man. You know, it's a tough spot. Yeah. And he's come through it with a lot of flexibility. There's no reason for him not to be able to sign Evan Bouchard or Leon Draisaitl, both of whom are infinitely more important than Holloway or Broberg. He's still got the bones and the guts of a Stanley Cup contender with plenty of cap flexibility and draft picks to help build this thing into as good a team as it was last year, or maybe one period better. So, you know, the guy's only been on the job for a month here, but I would say that this very stern test, he's done as good a job as you're going to do, I guess is what I'd say, guys. Can you think of a better way to handle it than Edmonton did? I mean, I guess you could, but, you know, it's a pretty tough pie to eat and look happy eating it, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like you're going to run into these kinds of situations. You know, every team does at some point with a salary cap, and I know the salary cap is going up, which leads me to my next question. You did mention the Draisaitl contract extension. What's the latest there? Because obviously these salary cap moves pertain to next season, but Leon Draisaitl's contract is looming in the background there, and that is going to be a particularly big number. So what's the latest on Leon potentially staying at Edmonton?
Well, I think there's certainly, Stan Bowman said today they were talking, so that's good. I think there's no, you know, to me, as a reporter, like, they're finding the money for this guy, right? He's a top five player in the National Hockey League. So if it's in the 13s, that means Leon Draisaitl gave him a little bit of a hometown discount. He could ask for anything up to $15 million because, you know, I would say to you that of the, you know, pending UFAs after next season, there are none better than Leon Draisaitl. He should be the highest paid player in the National Hockey League at the end of next season, right? Starting the further season. So, and then McDavid will surpass him. But my point would be this. I see no sign that Leon Draisaitl is looking to go somewhere else. They're negotiating in good faith. The Oilers will find the money because this guy's a legitimately great, great player. So I think it's going to happen, guys. It's just a matter of what the number is.
All right, Speck, before we let you go, what did you make of the Connor McDavid wedding? That thing was extravagant, in vogue, and like, I guess you weren't invited, eh?
Yeah, you know, they don't invite old sports writers to things like that anymore.
Oh, that's a bummer. I was hoping for an inside scoop.
Yeah, no, I don't. You know what? I have a very good relationship with Connor, and I wished him well, but I did not expect an invitation, and lo and behold, did not receive one.
Well, it looks like Leon got engaged this summer, so maybe you get invited to that one.
Yeah, no, that's probably not happening either.
Okay. Bummer. More time for you to go up to Grand Prairie. I don't think they're getting married there when they pick their destination wedding, but you can check it out for us, Beck. We appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the rest of the summer. I know it's been not really much of a summer at times. You're getting pulled back into chatting with us, but rest up because it's going to be a big season ahead. So thanks for joining
us. Thanks, Beck.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Mark Spector, NHL analyst and Oilers reporter for us here at Sportsnet. It looked like he was in a garden. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Looks nice out there. Most definitely nicer than here.
Yeah, a little Grand Prairie shout out. Today. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it's an interesting pickle for the Oilers in this situation because they sort of saw it coming from a mile away, and then they went out on July 1st and added. You're like,
They really added. They signed Henrique, Janmark, Skinner, Perry, Josh Brown, Arvidsson, and, I mean, I think they did that trade for Matt Savoy, who's a young stud. So
yeah, it's like, that's a lot of players to bring in when you're up against a salary cap, and you know, or you knew at the time that there was going to be a corresponding move. I'm not sure you thought it was going to come via offer sheets because we very rarely
see that
sort of thing. I love it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I mean, anytime you can get an opportunity for player movement, like that's what makes a league great. Like the NBA is a perfect example of this where I actually think it's going a little bit overboard, but you've seen the free agency period and trades and where guys are going, like that sort of thing has become almost bigger than the sport itself. Now, I'm not necessarily sure that that's a good thing, but it does generate a ton of interest in your league. And the NHL, because of the salary cap, is a little bit more hampered when it comes to that sort of thing. So anytime you can have more conversation, more discussion, more content about where guys are going and is this guy going to be on this team or that team, that's fun for us, and I think it's fun for fans. Not great, I think, for Oilers fans at this current point in time, but hey, Blues fans got two productive players out of it, so give me offer sheets all day long.
I still think I'd rather play for the Oilers than the Blues just because of the win-now window.
Yeah.
But, you know, those two young guys get an opportunity to really cement themselves in that, and they're making more money. So,
yeah, great point.
I don't know who was the winner of all of this. It'll still be to be determined. I think the Oilers having extra cap flexibility is the main thing, the underlying thing that they tried to accomplish with this, and they did. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Evander Kane. Now they have the choice. They don't need to force him onto LTIR, but that still could be a potential. And having a lot of money at the trade deadline when you're a team in a win-now time is exactly what you need. So they allowed for that. And, I mean, they're losing two young guys. We'll see how their career. We're going to be following Broberg and Holloway forever now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like they're worse up front because of the moves that they made July 1st, but they're going to have to address the back end because Broberg was someone, especially in the postseason, who looked like he was coming into his own. And losing him, you really have to address the right side now, especially if you're a team that has designs on winning a Stanley Cup now. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here.
All right. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll come back and chat with Chris LaRue from the Rogers Center ahead of Reds and Blue Jays. That'll be on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, the Fan, a little later. Jays dropped game one, but feeling a bounce back tonight.
Yeah, as am I.
I did get my Vladdy home run, but no stolen bases.
Ellie De La Cruz.
We'll be right back on the Fan Pregame. We're back on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We're taking your text at 590-590, and you can send us a message on X. Your fantasy football...
You call it X?
No, but I for the first time, I think, ever in my life, I just didn't. I had to think about it for about...
I couldn't...
10 extra seconds.
Hear the hamster spinning. Am I going to call it X right now?
No, on Twitter. So you... We're asking you how you determine your fantasy football draft order and maybe your best or worst punishments. We got one in here from Nick from Milverton. That's a hamlet. I love that. Friend of mine had to either do blonde streaks in his hair or sing the anthem at a local senior A hockey game. Both of those are tough. I probably would have done the streaks in the hair because...
Anthem's tough.
You know, you're anthem's coming tough. Back. Like, maybe frosted tips are coming back. Like, my... York Sim Gooks, Breast, Triple A.
I had frosted tips.
Yeah, you could probably rock. You kind of have frosted tips.
That
now.
Was like, it was like the boy band era.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to be like a Backstreet Boy.
It's pretty sick, actually. Right,
what's your, how good is your voice out of 10? I've never heard you sing.
6.5?
Wow. That's high.
High? That's not high.
6.5
that's
out of 10
pretty
is
pretty
like,
average.
I would have. I mean,
really?
You better be good now.
So then I mean 5 then.
You're going to have
like middle of the pack. Like I can
I
like.
I feel like that's something you want to lowball.
No, okay, fine. 6.5 out of 10.
6.5 like, is
so
like.
So is 10 Adele?
You could pull off like an American
is
Idol
Is 10
audition.
Adele or is 10 like you can go to a, like a karaoke
Adele, yeah.
bar? Okay, well, obviously I'm not a 6.5 then. I thought you meant 10 is like.
How can anything be above 10?
I thought you
10?
Meant 10 is like my friends who are good singers and I'm not them.
No, they're like an 8.
Okay, so then I'm a 4.
Think so. I don't think you can renege on that. You're a 6.5.
No. I'm not.
Should we do karaoke?
We shouldn't. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not interested in
I think I'm like a 6.5 also, not to brag, but.
All right. So then you're basically.
I could pull off an anthem.
Okay. Okay. We have Chris LaRue joining us from the Rogers Center ahead of Reds and Blue Jays at 7 o'clock. What's up, Chris?
I just have to ask you guys, is my Zoom better than Mark Spector's?
If you want to make it as good as Mark Spector's, you need to get 6 inches closer to the screen. Yeah, that's it.
Literally, that's what he looked like.
I appreciated the effort. Like, man, Speck was lounging in his, like, garden, and he wanted to FaceTime us. And it was like when I FaceTime my parents, and
my
mom
goodness.
Holds the phone, like, up backwards. But it loves Speck, so.
Were funny. You guys... So I was watching the show when I was eating dinner at the Rogers Center and so there's obviously no audio and I look up and I was like shocked at how close he was to the screen. Did you guys chirp him at least? Or,
no,
or was
I don't
there
think
none
we're that,
that
close with Speck so, yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm not, I don't even know who he is, but like,
well, he works for us and he's a great
okay,
guy.
All
so,
right, all right. Well,
you know, you were,
tell him I say hi, but okay. Someone's got to give him a helping hand.
Somebody in our back room, like framed up that shot too. So they thought that was the best look. And
right,
you know what?
Right.
He looks really happy and tanned and like he's having
he
a good summer.
It
we're talking
like
about the Oilers, so, you know, just chatting about hockey.
That's too good.
It's a good chat. Okay, so you're in a bit of a better situation in terms of framing.
I'm not very good at that either, so that's why I literally asked at the beginning. I was like, is mine better than Mark Spector's? Because I'm not sure.
You did good.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I was super fired up for this series against the Reds because I thought it was going to be the Joey Votto, you know, week. It was going to be all the stories about Joey and all the... homecoming, in a sense, playing the Reds. So, you know, unfortunately, that's not happening. You think this is just like a performance, simply a performance decision? You know, he has not been playing or at all up to what we would expect from Joey Votto. And like, how kind of disappointing is it to not have this moment that I think a lot of fans were hoping for?
Well, I don't know. See, I tend to disagree that a lot of fans were hoping for it. I think that. And I could be wrong with this statement, but I'm not sure that a lot of fans even realize that he's Canadian. I think he's been with Cincinnati for so long. He hasn't really been an outspoken Canadian in terms of like the pride and playing for the national mm-hmm. team and things like that. Obviously, he's a very proud Canadian, and he's proud of where he grew up and where he's from and where his family's from. But I feel like he's just not one of those guys that you would really be like, yep, that's the Canadian that I want on my team. He's going to put a lot of butts in the seats. He's going to sell some tickets. going to sell some jerseys. I just feel like that's not really the guy that I really think of when I think of Canada. I think of like Larry Walker. I think of Justin Morneau. I even think of Jordan Romano. He's just not that guy. So when I heard the narrative that he could potentially be called up hitting 140, whatever he's hitting in Buffalo, where the team is now, a lot of young guys getting a lot of playing time, which I'm loving seeing that. I'm loving seeing Will Wagner, Spencer Horowitz, even Addison Barger, who I wasn't totally sold on earlier this season. He's starting to play a lot better. For Joey to come up and to potentially take those at bats, that playing time away from those guys who could potentially help the team in the future, 2025 and beyond, I don't love that. And I haven't had the chance to speak with Ross about it. I haven't spoke with John Schneider about it. This is just my own personal opinion. Look, I love Joey as a person. We used to go to draft workouts at the Skydome in like 2001. Like, I've known him forever. I'm just speaking strictly from a Blue Jays perspective, strictly from a business point of view. I just don't get it. Like, I don't get the hype. I don't get the reason for the push to have him in Toronto. Look, I get that the Reds are in town, and I'm almost certain that this narrative started in Cincinnati somewhere. Some Cincinnati fan tweeted in wherever they were, hey, wouldn't it be nice to see Joey Votto end his career in Toronto against his former team? Yeah, I mean, storybook, sure. But does he deserve it? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be, you know, negative about it, but that's just me putting on my Ross Atkins hat, putting on my John Schneider hat, and thinking this just doesn't make sense. I don't get it. There's really nobody that I've talked to inside the media, you know, friends, diehard Blue Jays fans that really want to see it. If he's not hitting 280 with five homers in Buffalo, why are we calling him up?
Yeah.
It's just kind of that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're bang on. If he's hitting, you know, 300 at the minor league level, then maybe he's someone that you can bring up and see if a 40-year-old Joey Votto will be able to help you in 2025 when, you know, your team, they say they want to compete for a World Series again next year. You need to figure out who's going to be on your team next year. That's the most important thing. One of the other main stories that has been talked about in Blue Jays land this week, and we had Chris Rose on the show yesterday.
Yeah, you guys bumped me. For Chris Rose.
Well, we have to have a Chris every day, so we spread out the Chris's. Now it's two days.
Like, I couldn't get to sleep last night because I was like, those two guys, they bumped me.
Yeah. Well, we neither of us had any part of that. Yeah. That was strictly a behind-the-scenes thing. So Bassett goes on this podcast, and I don't think he said anything crazy, and that's kind of what Chris Rose was talking about. Everything that Chris Bassett said on the podcast was a fact. The Blue Jays put basically all of their eggs into the Shohei Ohtani $700 million basket. It didn't come through, and unfortunately, the options, the gulf when you go from Shohei Ohtani to the next best player.
It's like going from Chris Rose to Chris LaRue.
It's a pretty significant.
Hey, you're the best.
I mean, what are you going to do?
It's a significant gulf. Yeah, it's a significant gulf. So, like, what did you make of his comments? Did you think he was offside at all, or was he just being truthful, and that's kind of what we want to see from athletes?
Oh, boy. I don't want to be too honest with this. I'm going to take off my player in the locker room hat just for a second, just so I don't get in trouble. I don't love when guys go out of their way, right, to actively make negative comments about their boss, because let's be honest, those were direct comments to Ross Atkins, to Mark Shapiro, to whoever else is making decisions. Hey, you didn't do enough. You screwed up, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're going to ever say that to your bosses. Hey, you guys screwed up. Would you ever do that? No, I would never do that. I would never actively pursue a podcast to to try to make comments like that. That's why I don't really understand it. Even if you feel that way, even if guys in that clubhouse feel that way, why are you going on a podcast? You know it's going to get traction. You know people are going to hear about it. You know Ross Atkins is going to hear about it. What are you thinking? Right? Mm-hmm. And I know that Chris Bassitt is a very honest guy, and you have to love him for that, because sometimes what he says needs to be said. But these comments did not need to be said, especially when everybody knows that's the case. Everybody knows that there probably really wasn't enough done this offseason. When you go after Shohei Ohtani, and let's be honest, the Blue Jays didn't have a chance at Shohei Ohtani in any world, and I know you guys know that. Shohei Ohtani, his people were just using every other team as leverage because he wanted to be in LA, he wanted to get that big money, and he was always staying in California. I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think that at the same time, why are you on that podcast and why are you saying those things? I want to know those answers. Why? Do you guys know? Have you spoken to what did Chris Rose have to say about that? Was he shocked at Chris Bassitt being on his podcast and saying those negative things about his boss?
He defended Chris Bassitt by saying that, you know, everything he said was pretty much as honest as could be, and that he didn't want to make like clickbait. Like, he just wanted to talk about, basically, Chris Rose said, what's going on with the Blue Jays this year? Like, where can we pinpoint this failure? And it was Chris Bassitt that was honest about it. And the interview is much longer than the clips that are circulating. He also talks about Vladdy, and he talks about him playing third versus first. But obviously, we live in the consumer one-minute real content. And so anything that's on TikTok or Instagram, we're going to watch that. But the longer interview, you know, he says, and he's pretty straight up about it, Chris Bassitt, I don't want to say too much because I love the guys on the team. And he kind of cushions it by saying that. But then he says what he says. And so by trying to not say anything, he still says enough that we're all speculating that he's talking about Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro and the way that this organization has mishandled some stuff. So by not saying anything, we still read between the lines enough that we're talking about it now 2 days later. And I just wonder, like, what would that be like? Let's say in the clubhouse, like, obviously you're
in a clubhouse. And if I'm, I don't know, Kevin Gausman, who's been openly critical about the front office as well. But if I'm anybody else in that clubhouse who probably has more than 4 or 5 years of service time, I'm frustrated with those comments. I'm annoyed with those comments. Mm-hmm. I'm probably close enough with him where I'm asking him, hey, why did you go on that podcast? Like, what was your thought process as Chris Rose was calling you to do that Zoom or however they did it? Like, why? Like, I just don't understand. I would be very irritated. And as you can plainly see, I'm irritated even as a broadcaster to see a guy who still has years left on his contract and will be in Toronto for the foreseeable future to make those comments. I just don't understand it. As soon as I heard about it and I knew that it was Chris Bassitt, I kind of just rolled my eyes and thought, oh God, here we go. Like, another honest interview with a guy that kind of, like, let's be honest, he just looks miserable at all time of the day. So, like, can you really? I mean, you kind of just have to take what he says with a grain of salt at this point, just because he's had so many of these interviews after ball games, before ball games, in the middle of ball games. He's just kind of a miserable dude, and I don't know him at all, but I'm just speaking strictly from the outside looking in, and I know that you guys could probably see what I'm talking about. And sure, it's cool to be honest, but at a certain point, you have to stop being honest and think about your teammates, think about your bosses, think about the effort and the pride and all that they put into this roster. It's not like Ross Atkins is walking around Toronto thinking about how he can make this roster bad. He's actively thinking about how to make this roster better. And when a guy like Chris Bassitt goes out and makes these comments, are we going to make comments about Ed Rogers? No, it's just not going to happen. Like, have some respect, show some respect, go out on the mound every 5 days, get some guys out, and then go home. It's not that hard.
Yeah. I mean, your last point makes a lot of sense. I think, I think the reason we didn't think it was that big of a deal is because what you alluded to, when he holds his scrums after starts, like, this is not what he said in the podcast, is not really a departure from what he's been saying kind of all season as things have been going south. So yeah, you could say, well, he shouldn't be doing them in the first place, but it feels like that's just kind of who Chris Bassitt is at this point. I wanted to shift gears and ask you about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., because you mentioned that Ross Atkins is not walking around Toronto trying to figure out ways to make the team bad. He's trying to improve the team, and improving the team is going to, I would think, include keeping Vladimir Guerrero Jr. here as long as possible. Do you just pay him whatever he wants at this point? Because, I mean, now he's playing third base a little bit more. He's playing third base tonight. If he excels at third base, you think that number is probably going to go up even more as opposed to being a DH and a first baseman. So where are you at with the Blue Jays in terms of trying to get pen to paper with Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
I tend to think that it's probably not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened already. And I don't know what Vlad is thinking. I don't know what his camp is thinking. But if I were in his shoes, if I had the leverage that he did, I would probably wait until free agency, and I would see what I could get. I would see what I could get from the Yankees, from the Dodgers, from the Mets, whoever else is willing to pay that huge amount of money. And I know that's tough to hear from Blue Jays fans, and I hear a lot of rumblings of pay the man, but what if Vlad doesn't want to be paid right now? What if he wants to see what he's worth on the open market? I mean, he could sign for 300 plus with the Jays, or he could sign with 400 plus with the Mets, right? And that's just reality. And I think that when you're thinking about business, when you're thinking about money, when you're thinking about dollars and cents, I think the best way to go about this situation is wait and see if you're in Vlad's camp, because it could be a lot more money. And I know that that's not something the Blue Jays fans want to hear, but that is just the reality. If I'm him, if I have that skill set, if I'm putting up those numbers, I am 100% waiting until the end of 2025 to make my decision.
You're spitting a lot of harsh truths. I'm starting to sweat. Like, it's just a tough.
Oh, that
tough
one.
And honestly, Ailish, if he signs with the Blue Jays before the end of 2025, I would be shocked.
Okay.
The only reason you do that is to insulate yourself against being injured, like signing $300 million because you're afraid that if something goes wrong.
There's a low percentage chance that a position player has a career-ending injury, right? Like, if you're a pitcher, sure, sign that contract, get that money. You could have Tommy John. You could have rotator cuff. Your velocity could drop 8 miles an hour, and you could be a terrible pitcher tomorrow. But if you're a first baseman, the chances of getting that career-ending injury are pretty low. I would roll the dice. And I know that's tough to hear, but that's just what I would do.
How much fun is it watching him right now?
Oh, man. I always say it doesn't really matter what the team's record is. A good baseball game, to me, is a good baseball game. An exciting game is an exciting game. And every time Vlad comes in that box, you can feel the energy in the Rogers Center just gain some traction. I feel like people pay big money, and again, people probably don't want to hear this, but it's worth the price of admission. Mm-hmm. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is 100% worth the $100 it costs for the beers and the $30 vodka soda. It is he is so entertaining. I love Vlad. I love his personality. I love how happy he is all the time. Look, I don't know Vlad personally, but I have had moments with him where I'm just like, this dude is a good dude. Pay the man.
Okay, so we got Vladdy tonight. We got Looney Dogs, or maybe Larooney Dogs.
I don't know. I might be fired after this interview.
No. We can scrub it from the podcast feed. You know what? A little bitter truth sometimes. We got to follow it.
That's what we love to see.
Well, they're going to hear you again in about 10 minutes, Chris. So,
I'll be less honest when you're hearing me on the broadcast.
Perfect. It'll be a different Chris. But we like your fall jacket, by the way. Very pumpkin spice latte.
It's not as cold outside as I thought it was going to be.
It's chilly, but you're bringing it. All right. That's Chris Leroux. We'll chat soon. Appreciate your time. Blue Jays radio analyst. You're going to hear him in about 10 minutes.
That was incredible.
The Reds and
Jays
game.
That was incredible.
I'm going to disagree with a couple things that he had to say.
and that's okay. Your notes?
No. I do think fans were really clamoring for Joey Votto. And maybe it's because I'm a very criminally online, and I'm reading everything that everyone is saying. But, I mean, Joey Votto to me is a very front-facing Canadian baseball legend, and I think it would mean a lot for him to play for the Blue Jays. I do agree that he doesn't deserve to play for the Blue Jays right now. But maybe Chris just hasn't seen the same fan cry I have about giving Joey Votto a chance. He's not performing well. He shouldn't be playing in the Blue Jays lineup. Yep. But that missed opportunity, I think, means a lot to this fan base and to Joey Votto. I also like honesty in players to an extent. I think Chris Bassitt saying what Chris Bassitt said, I agreed with everything that Chris Bassitt said. I probably don't know the inner workings of a locker room like Chris LaRue would and how that would affect a clubhouse. But as somebody in the media, it's helpful when a player speaks. Like, we've had 3 days of content, 2 days of content about Chris Bassitt on every single show on our station.
Yeah,
and although it can be like, yeah, we get it. I mean, you never hear what players are thinking in the NHL. The NBA, you hear it a lot because they all have their own podcasts. So for Chris Bassitt to speak his mind for us probably helps. For players, maybe not. Maybe the guy in the locker room beside him is like, buddy, like, what are you doing? You're stirring up all this nonsense. I know that our Arden Zwelling talked to Chris Bassitt, and you can read the remarks he had to say and kind of clarifying some of his comments. I think that was helpful. But I personally wasn't as, you know, upset by it. But I'm also not a former major league player, so.
Yeah, I mean, the only people who maybe don't like it are either those in the clubhouse or the front office. But in terms of him just being who he is, mm-hmm. I don't think he needs to be turning down opportunities to go hop on with Chris Rose and you know, not be honest. It's very clear that that's who Chris Bassitt is. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, nothing he said was wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything he said was a factual statement, and we shouldn't get upset at him. I think Chris LaRue's point about, like, what's the benefit to it is a very good one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we want him to do that because it provides us content, it's good for the fans, et cetera, et cetera. It's a window into what the players are thinking. But there's really nothing good that comes of it other than, you know, maybe a shot in the arm to the front office. But
I don't think they would be blind to the fact that those were things that everyone's thinking. Like, if they were like, oh, my goodness, Chris Bassitt thinks we didn't have a Shohei Ohtani fallback. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, so, you know, anyway. So, Chris Black tomorrow? Who's our next Chris? Who wants to come on the show? It's a week of Chris's.
It's all good, too.
We got you, Chris Black.
Just come on.
Come on.
Just,
you know?
He can only come on if he's willing to be incredibly
Chris's
honest,
like,
and potentially controversial.
Like
last two Chris's.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap up today's show. I'm going to pick the Blue Jays on the money line tonight. It's Berríos on the mound and Spears for the Reds. He's got – Berríos is my guy. Spears has an 8.78 ERA in August. He has not had a quality start in a little while. And I like the St. Louis Blues to offer sheet Vladdy. No, I like the Blue Jays to get back in the win column. It's Looney Dogs night. It's LaRooney Dogs night. And there's a little spice in that building, you know?
Yeah, I'm riding along with that.
Let's go Blue Jays.
Sure. Yeah, I think the Blue Jays are going to have a big night tonight. I'm going with the Houston Astros against the Boston Red Sox. Houston's red hot, no pun intended, and Ronel Blanco is on the mound tonight, and he's been just sensational over the last little while. 2.89 ERA this season, 1.01 WHIP. He looks great. The Astros look great, and there's some value there because they've been so good. -112 is a decent number. So, give me the Houston Astros
tonight. I love it. You a Looney Dogs guy?
No. I'm trying to eat healthy these days.
Yeah, me too. It's been a while since I've been down at the ballpark. I was trying to look at a night where I could get there, but with our show ending at 7 and Toronto traffic, I'd need a chopper.
How many have you been to many games this season?
I think I've been to less than a handful, like 5 or 6.
Beautiful place.
Oh, I mean, it's stunning.
It's
but
awesome.
As I said, our show, I got to do weekends.
Yeah,
and in the summer, you got plans on the weekends. I had like 1,000 bachelorettes and I was at 75 weddings this summer. Like, things are slowing down.
Yeah,
if
you leave here right when the show ends, which is about, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
You're not getting to the Rogers Center until like 7:40.
And now with the pitch clock, minimum. I got less time to eat Looney Dogs, so I don't even want to set myself up for failure.
Yeah.
I might have to take a Tuesday off, tell our producer, Ryan Favreau, he can book me off for a Looney Dogs.
Maybe a Wednesday, maybe tomorrow.
It's different. There's no $1 dogs.
It's true.
All right. Have a great night, everybody. You've got the Blue Jays and the Reds up next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet, and we will see you tomorrow.